We're very thankful this morning to be in the house of God and to be able to see this day that brings us to the close of 1 year. And tonight, hopefully 12, we'll all be alive still to see the incoming of a new year. We're thankful to God for those who are visiting with us, and we want you to know you're very honored guests of the audience. And so I pray you bought your Bible so you can obey it this morning. Obey the gospel, knowing Jesus died for your sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. I would say, as the world would say, they say happy New Year, Merry Christmas and all that, but it's holidays, happy holidays. Hopefully those who love you have said something sweet to you, give you reason to rejoice that they're in your lives and that you have family and friends who love you and share in these great moments as we come to the close of the year. We got a great day today ahead of us, congregational meeting, and then after that we have a fellowship meal, and then we'll have OER program after evening services, afternoon services. So hopefully you came to stay today and be with us, and we certainly pray that you would do that today. John chapter 6, let's pick up verse number 22, verse 22. The bread of God, as we continue our study of the book of John, we are thankful. This has been a great study. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed it and enjoy what I'm learning. And just tell me, I've been in church 32 years, I'm still learning. You pick up the scripture. You can learn. It's all so much in the Bible. We never get fully educated on the whole book because there's so much in there to learn from. Verse 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one, whereunto his disciples were entered, that Jesus went not with his disciples into, verse 22, the boat. But the disciples were gone alone. Now, this is the day following the feeding of the 5,000. Also, it's the day following the storm where Jesus walked on water, as we talked about last week. And he got on the ship with the disciples, and the ship landed immediately. So here are the people who know Jesus did not get on that boat, are asking themselves, how did he get on the other side? In verse number 23, the Bible says,
there came other boats from Tiberias.
From Tiberias.
Nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks.
When the people saw that Jesus was not there,
neither his disciples,
nor his disciples,
they also took shipping and came to Capernaum.
So they got in boats to go on over to Capernaum,
seeking for Jesus.
They're seeking Jesus. But the question is why? Even today, many people at the close of a new year will come to, a worship service. They'll seek Jesus. But what is the motive of those who are seeking Jesus? So the question becomes, why are you here today? What are you seeking Jesus? And if so, why are you seeking him? Verse number 25 said, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him,
Rabbi, when camest thou?
When did you get on this side? And then Jesus answers.
Verily, verily, I say unto you,
ye seek me. Do not seek me. He's saying, you seek me.
Not because you saw the miracle.
Because I fed 5,000 people. That's not why you're seeking me. Then he says,
But you did eat the loaves and were filled.
Because you were hungry and I gave you some food. That was the reason they were seeking Jesus. And so they asked him how he got over there. Now, he didn't answer them, but he said, I know why you're here. And so Jesus says, you seeking me because I fed you, but everyone is not seeking Jesus to be saved. That's what we got to remember. Everyone is not seeking Jesus to be saved. They're not seeking because they love him, but because of loaves of bread, because of what you get physically. Jesus saying, you're seeking me for the wrong reason. And even today, if we offer a meal to the community, and we say, hey, you're going to come over and eat a meal. We're going to have free food for you. We'll pack the house. Amen. We have giveaway. Folk line up outside. But do you know if we bring them in to talk about the Bible, they say, I was set up. Because they're not seeking God for spiritual well-being. They're seeking God for their own benefits. Amen, somebody. If we advertise Bible study, visitors or non-members and some members won't come to Bible class, but they'll come to worship to get their bread. They missed the point. Don't miss the point. I said you come to Bible class. You won't come to Bible class, but you'll come to worship service to get your bread. You come to get the bread because that's the only thing you're seeking. When you seek Jesus for the wrong reason, understand this, that Jesus knows why you're here. Notice this in verse number 27. He warned them, he said, don't worry about the food that will perish.
But for the meat that endures unto everlasting life.
The meat that I'm giving you will endure or continue through everlasting life. And then he said,
which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed.
God sealed the deal for mankind to be saved and have eternal life when he sent his Son. His Son came to the world. God authorized it. He got up from the grave with all power, Matthew 28:18. He said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. He was saying to them that I've been authorized. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Jesus didn't come back and say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. So when we understand this, we understand that when people are seeking Jesus, they should seek him for the spiritual benefit of what he brings to their life. And that is eternal life. And the people need to understand that there is no other way. Jesus said in John 20, he said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book, but these that are written that you might believe. We have the scripture to help us believe. It's all about believing. And then Acts 4:12, the Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. Hebrews 5 and verse 8 said, the Bible said, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience, but by the things he suffered, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to one group of people. That's all them that obey him. Look here. What we're saying is that each of us should check our motives for being in worship. See, there are people who are here because they've been sick. And they know God can get them through. Or they're going through some things. And they know God can bring them through. People come to God and use him. They come to the church when their light bill need to be paid. They come to the church when they ain't got no food to eat. But when you preach Jesus, they don't show up. I'm going to tell you about people like that. They're just like these people. And Jesus saying, there is no other way to heaven without truly serving him. I think all of us, as we enter into a close of this year and enter into a new year, should check our motives for worship. If your motive for worship is on a single one-day basis, and all you do is come to worship service Sunday morning, put this day on your record that I told you, you won't go to heaven. You're not going to heaven that way because God is not your priority. When God is your priority, nothing stops you from worshiping. Amen. Nothing stops you from being in Bible class. Nothing will stop you from giving him first in your life. You do it on that job every day. You go to work on time and you stay the full 8 hours because you know the reward is on Friday and that's your paycheck. You don't go because you love the job. You don't go because you love the employer. You go because you want the check. That's why some people come to church. They come, as we call, come to church. They come to worship with the church. And they come because of only the things God can give them, not because they love him for giving his son or he love his son for giving his life. You say, brother, that's kind of cold-hearted, really? Am I being cold-hearted or just being honest with you? Honest. You know, being in the church as long as I have, I've seen people use the church. They'll use them. They'll use the church. They'll use God. But in the end, you won't get away. You won't get away with it. And that's what you need to know today. Did God unseal the deal that if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins as commanded by Jesus, you're not going to heaven. If you don't worship him according to the way he has given us in the doctrine of Christ, you won't go to heaven. You can't go to heaven not being faithful, and love is the only thing motivates you to be faithful to Jesus. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do?
What shall we do?
That we might work the works of God. Here's the answer. Listen to him.
Jesus answered and said unto them,
here's the work of God.
This is the work of God.
That you
believe on him whom he has sent.
Now, a Hebrew writer said, Hebrew 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If a person don't believe in Jesus, baptism won't help him. It won't help him. You got to believe in Jesus, and that believing in Jesus is a faith-based belief. It's not that you see him. You've seen him in Jerusalem. Not that you saw him hang on the cross. None of that would suffice. You have to believe it based on the word of God, based on what it says. And then the Bible is teaching us, Jesus is teaching us that the work of God is that you believe on him that sent you. Now, here, these Jews, notice in verse 30. They said therefore to him,
What sign showest thou then?
What sign?
That we may see and believe
what
thee.
What sign do we need to see to believe who you are? He's fed 5,000 in front of them. They still need some more evidence that he's who he is. And then he says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to you. Yeah, so then. So he said, well, now, are you like Moses? We know that God, when the people were hungry in the wilderness, that God rained down manna or bread for them to eat. Now, let me remind you, these same folk saw Jesus take five fish and two loaves of bread and fed 5,000, not counting men and women. They just witnessed this. They just witnessed it, and they looking for some other evidence to prove that he is the Son of God. Question becomes, how about you today? How much will God have to do for you to believe? What do God have to do? Man, just go look at the moon. Look at the stars, or the rain, the food. And man, look at the sky is screaming, there is a God. But when God brought you through many times before, he let you live. You still breathe his air. You're still up and walking and doing good. But yet you don't believe that you need to obey God. Now, belief ain't just believing that Jesus died. Belief is believing and doing. He that hear the word of God must believe and do it. You can't say you love God and then hate your brother. You can't say you love God, but you're not faithful to him in worship. You got to understand belief encompasses the whole fact that you must love God and that love will spur you to obey him. Amen. Why are you here? I mean, why are you here? Why wouldn't you make God a priority in your life? At what point do you do that? When do you make that decision? How much do God have to do for you to make a decision not to be just a Sunday morning only worshiper? You say, Brother Brooks, I don't agree with coming to afternoon. Well, there are a lot of congregations that don't offer our afternoon services, but we do. Amen. And the Bible says, obey them to have rule over you, for they watch for your soul. Amen. This is our job. My job is to say what's best for the congregation. We don't put afternoon services in just because we like to have people come. We put it in for the benefit of those seeking God, for the benefit of those who want to go to heaven. Amen. And so when you're forsaking the assembly, you're forsaking the afternoon worship, you're forsaking the assembly, which is sinful. It's just a symbol and not giving right. Is just as sinful as not taking communion as commanded? Is just as sinful as not singing? When you're supposed to worship, we sing, we pray, we take collection, we give, we take communion weekly, and then we hear the word of God preached. The Bible said the word of God is able to save our souls. You got to ask yourself. Now, you say, well, I just don't agree with the afternoon services. Well, that's okay. There are churches, congregations who don't have them. And those congregations that don't have them, the leadership is not responsible. The leadership is taking the blood on their shoulder because they don't see the need for their members to have opportunities to serve. We have opportunity for you to serve here, to be taught on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Monday morning conference call, Tuesday Bible lunch hour, Wednesday 7 o'clock, Thursday 9 o'clock gospel call, Friday 12 noon gospel call, Saturday you study chapter 6 and John, you got plenty to be fed, but is that the bread you want? We have to be hungry spiritually in order to grow, in order to grow beyond where we are. People are still in their babe state because they're not hungry spiritually. When you're hungry spiritually, you come to hear the word of God preached. You come to be taught, which we will see here shortly. Then he says,
then Jesus said unto them,
Jesus says to them,
verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven.
See, they're trying to get Moses credit. They, are you like Moses? Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. But who gave
but
it to him?
But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven.
The true bread from heaven. For the bread of God, that's
God
my title right there.
The
bread of God,
is
he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life
unto
the world. Jesus corrects them on the spot. The bread that you got was from God. And God gives the true bread. And this is my title this morning, the bread of God. The bread of God. I remember when I was in the Baptist church, we used to sing the bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Me over. I thought the power started cranking up there. That's where that came from. The bread of heaven is the bread of God. And the bread of God is Jesus, which he gave to the world for the spiritual well-being of the people. The Father gives it by sending his only Son to the world. That Son came and died. And this death, that bread on the cross, was the bread of God. Jesus is the bread of God. And no one who don't take that bread, anyone who does not take the bread, will not be saved. That bread satisfies your spiritual health and your spiritual hunger and keeps it alive. Then they said unto him,
Lord, evermore give us this bread.
Give it to us. Now that they heard that, they've heard it and said, Lord, give us this bread. This is something that we should want. We should want this bread that God is offering. And then he says,
and Jesus says,
I am
the bread of life.
They ain't got it yet. So he's telling these Jews, they're thinking physical. He's speaking spiritual. He said, I'm the bread. Now they're going to get upset at him now. You what? I'm the bread of life.
He that cometh to
he
me
that
shall,
cometh
never,
shall
hunger.
Never hunger.
And he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
But I say unto you,
that you also
have seen
me
and believe
not.
The bread of God is talking. He's speaking to them in their face. He said, you see me and you don't believe. You don't even believe after seeing me. And he said, all the Father giveth me shall
come
to me. And him that cometh to me,
and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise.
Jesus right now is still calling. John, the Bible says, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus is calling. Who's speaking? It's the bread of God. The bread of God is calling the world. Listen to him. He said, For I came down from heaven not to do my own will.
But the will of him that sent me.
But the will of the Father who sent him. And this is the Father's will
which hath sent me.
That of all which he hath given me, I should lose
nothing.
If you obey Jesus, you won't be lost. Read.
but should raise it up again at the last day.
And
this is the will of him that sent me.
And everyone,
that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life.
Now, this
and I will
is
raise
the Father's
him up
will,
at the last day.
That everybody obey the voice of Jesus. And when a person obey the voice, if we do what Jesus tells us to do, you'll hear him say, well done, in the last day. There is a coming back. The dead in Christ will rise first. He's coming back. He's coming back. And when he comes back, only those who have obeyed the truth will rise to hear him say, well done. Listen to verse 41.
Then the Jews murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves.
And he knows what they're thinking. They're saying, well, man, that's Mary's son. Are you talking about he breed a breed from heaven? See, they don't believe. They don't believe. And so Jesus, y'all all murmuring among yourself. That's something about murmurs. You should know that. Murmurs need to know that, you know what? Jesus heard everything you murmuring about. A lot of murmurs in the church. They complain about everything. Yeah, complain about everything. Just murmur. The same thing happened in the wilderness. They murmured. They murmured because God brought them out from Egyptian bondage. Got them out there and they got that. Started complaining. Isn't that sad? The person can know God gave his son gave his life, yet they gonna murmur. Then the Bible says,
no man can come to me.
Jesus now know what they're murmuring. He said, no, y'all, let me tell you. He said, no man can come to me except the Father
which has sent me draw him.
And I will raise him up at the last day. Now notice what he says.
It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God.
Every man therefore that hath learned of the Father cometh unto me.
Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God.
Now, here's why many people are going to be lost today. Because they are self-teachers. That was something, well, you know, and this is what happened when our members are not faithful. I said, well, Brother Brooks, I know I ain't coming to worship, but I read my Bible every day. Yeah, I read my Bible. That's good that you read. But God never designed it for you to read and not be taught. And that's what's important for us to know. People are going to lose their soul because they have not been taught. Jesus is teaching them that here. You know what? Every man that's going to come to God, he's going to have to be taught. He's going to have to hear what he's been taught, and he's going to have to learn what to do. Is that what he's saying? And so just reading the Bible is not being taught. Just reading an English book is not being taught English. Just reading a math book is not being taught math. You can read, but you need an English teacher to teach you. You can read math, but you will need a math teacher to teach you. You can read the Bible, but you'll need a Bible teacher to teach you. And that's what he's saying. And some of you are not going to ever grow or never know what God wants you to do to save your soul because you are not a Bible student. Bible students come to class. Bible students go to class. Bible students follow the instructions of the teachers. Just like in the world, they don't put anybody up teaching the students. They put qualified people who know math, who know English. And at the church, this is the other thing we must understand, that men who are teaching us must be qualified. Women should be qualified to be Bible teachers because you can't believe everything a man say. So the student of math, if the book says 2 + 2 = 4 and the teacher says 2 + 2 = 6, believe the book over the man. That's why we got so many churches. People just doing what they want to do. They're not Bible students. They don't know what God has said. God is not going to come down and whisper in your ear. You're going to have to be taught what to do to be saved. One, in order to be saved, must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and obey it. Paul told Timothy, that from a child that obeyed the God, that from a child that have learned the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. that the man of God may be perfect. You know what? What about a year-end sermon where it says why you can't just be, why you can't just change your idea, change your mind about worship? Why you can't change your mind about Bible classes? What are you after from God? What do you want from Him? What's your motive? What was these people's motive? Jesus said, all you wanted was the bread. You wasn't seeking me. It amazes me how people who call themselves mature Christians, who call themselves faithful members of the church, won't stay for Bible class. Now you say, Brother Brooks, you fuss too much about that. What, the shoe fit? You put it on. If it don't fit, just wave at me as I go by your house. But the truth is the truth. We got about 370 members that we see coming in and out through the month. The largest assembly on a Sunday morning will be about 330. The other 40 plus are coming in and out once a month. They'll show up. We tag them. They at least come in once a month. But we got like 790 total members. That means 400 are not even coming. At least not here. But they're still our members. They still have a membership at Hollow Heights. That's what we're going to be talking about, how we restore. But this morning I'm talking to those of you who you're once a month, or you're kind of once a month worshiper, occasional worshiper, every so often worshiper. I hope you don't think that you're okay with the Lord. You're not okay with the Lord. You're not seeking first the kingdom. That's what this message is about this morning. The bread of God is by saving your soul. You could do it tomorrow. You could rededicate, recommit your life today and say, you know what? I'm going to start being faithful to my Lord. God has been too good to me. He's done so much for me. But God don't want you to come because you've been good to you. He don't want you to come because he done brought you through many storms before. He wants you to come because he gave his best. He gave his only son. Amen. He gave the bread of God. And he wants you to come for the bread. It's the bread of life. Jesus said here in verse number 40, I am that bread of life. Your fathers
did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead.
Now, you can come and get the afternoon fellowship meal. I hope some of you don't leave because you say, well, he said, I would come for the food. And stay and eat with us. You can rededicate your life. Amen. Because, you know, folks will say, you know, Brother Brooks, he just discouraged me from staying. Well, that's because you're taking it wrong. If you took it right, you would understand, Brother Brooks, what he's doing is trying to get you to be more faithful. Amen. Yeah, we want you to stay and eat with us because that's an indicator that you're trying to fellowship with us. You ever think about this? What it would be like if somebody come up here, Brother Corey, on a Sunday morning, and they lost their mama. She just died. And no member stayed around to encourage them. What about when our members are crying out and you are not here? What if we done you like that? In your dark days, in your dark hours, as I talked about last week. When things are at their worst. What if we didn't show up to encourage, to support you, to pray with you? We are a family. Amen. We're family. And we sing the song, and we always welcome new members. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes what? We cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. And there are times we dream together of how it's going to be when the saved get to heaven as God's family. If I had one person this morning to be more committed, to be more dedicated, mission has been accomplished. Why you say that, Brother Brooks? God, the angels rejoice over one sinner that repented. And I'm going to tell those of you who are not faithful to the Lord, not giving him first, you need to repent. And the way you repent is up here. Because you know as well as I know that you're not putting God first. And I'm not telling you nothing new. This is not something that's a surprise to you. This is something you know. This is something you know you can do better on. And that is, you can be more faithful in your relationship to God. Jesus said, what you got in the wilderness was food to keep you alive. But they still died. In other words, all of us going to die. So if we come for the physical part, it's not going to save us from dying. But if you come from the spiritual part, Jesus can save you from dying spiritually. Verse number 50 through 59. Let's go through that real quick.
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, but that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Now notice he's relating it, this physical to the spiritual. He's saying, I'm going to give you flesh, which is I give the life. The Jews therefore strove.
How can this man give us his flesh to eat?
His flesh to eat. So they're really tripping over what he's saying, really. And the Bible says what?
Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you,
I'm going to tell you this.
Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man.
If you don't eat the flesh of the Son of Man.
And drink his blood.
You have
no life in you.
Underline that one right there. To the visitors who are not communing weekly. You have no life in you. To the members who forsake the assembling and the drinking of the blood and the bread, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinketh my blood
hath eternal
life. He's talking about communion. And my flesh.
And I will raise him up at the last day.
He said, For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed.
He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Right.
As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father.
Right.
So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from
this
heaven.
This is that bread.
Which came down from heaven.
That came down from heaven.
Not like
what happened in the wilderness.
And are dead.
They died from eating that bread.
He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
This bread shall live forever. Let me close with it. The bread of God is Jesus. Here's when we do it. Luke 22. This is a command to commune. The Bible said in Luke 22, where he said this is 19, I think it is. Or 20, somewhere in there. Read that.
And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it.
What verse is that?
Verse 19.
19, yeah. Verse 19.
And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it.
Now, Jesus takes the bread. He's with his disciples. He takes the bread and breaks it.
And gave it unto his disciples, saying, this is my body.
This is my body.
Which is given for you. This is what you do in remembrance of me.
See, that's why this thing called Christmas is not a biblical discussion at all. Jesus, at no point does the Bible teach anywhere to remember the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus didn't save us. It took the death of Jesus to save us. And here is the command given to Christians. And there are Christians who don't keep this command. They don't take the Lord's Supper as they're supposed to. And in Matthew 26:26, he was teaching them in Matthew 26:26, in his accounts in all the Gospels about the Lord's Supper institution. But here is he says in verse 26. Notice what he says.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread.
Jesus took bread
and blessed it.
He blessed the bread
and broke it.
He broke the bread
and gave it to the disciples.
He gave it to who?
His disciples.
Who did he give it to?
The disciples.
Okay, now in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, And verse number 23. Listen to this, because here's what the denominational friends are going to teach. It don't say how often. Listen to verse number 23. The book says what? Paul says,
"For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you.
Which also delivered unto you.
That the Lord Jesus, the same night when he was betrayed, took bread.
Took bread." And he's telling the Corinthians, the same night they betrayed him, he took the bread. Read.
"And when he had given thanks."
When he gave thanks for the bread.
"He broke it."
He broke it.
"And said."
He said.
"Take.
Take.
Eat.
Eat.
This is my body.
This is my body." He didn't say this represents my body. He didn't say it looks like my body. He said this is. We take this bread by faith. It is the body of Christ. Read.
"This is my body, which is broken for you."
It's broken for you.
"This do in remembrance of me."
This is what you do. And so he reminds the Corinthians, this is what you do in remembrance of me. Read.
"And after the same manner also."
After the same manner.
"Also, he took the cup."
He took the cup.
"When he had supped."
When he had supped, saying.
"This cup is the New Testament in my blood."
Uh-huh, read.
"This do ye as oft as
you drink it." Now, there's that little word right there, as oft. As oft. So the Baptist preacher, and the Methodist preacher, and the Catholic preacher going to go to this verse, and it says as oft, which gives me the liberty or the freedom to take it once a week, once a month, every day of the week, whenever I want to take it. But remember, back 26, Matthew 26, he spoke directly to his disciples. Now, are we disciples of Christ? Yes, we are. So, should we not do what the disciples of Christ did in the New Testament? Yes, we should be. In Acts 20 and verse 7, let's see how often the disciples who were with Jesus took the bread. And the book says in Matthew 12, in Acts 20 and verse 7, and upon
the first day of the
week. Upon what day of the week?
The first day of the week.
The first Sunday of the month.
The first day
of the week. It don't say first Sunday of the month?
The first
day of
the week.
Well, where did they get that from? Where did they get first Sunday from? With white gloves and a white sheet on the table. Who started that? I'm going to tell you who started. It came from man-made doctrines. Men do what they want to do in the Lord's kingdom. But I guarantee you, they're going to keep that money plate every Sunday. Yet the Bible said 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1. Listen
now
to the book.
Concerning the collection
now concerning
for the
collecting money. Read.
Now concerning the collection for the saints.
Yeah.
As I've given order to the churches of Galatia.
Yeah, read on.
Even so do you.
This is what you do.
Upon the first day of the week.
On the first Sunday of the month.
Upon the first day
of the week. It don't say first Sunday there, and it don't say first Sunday in Acts 20 and verse 7. But upon the
first day of the week.
Now every week has a first day. What do we call that first day? Sunday. Every week got a Sunday in it. How often did these disciples take the Lord's Supper?
Upon the first day of the week.
How often did they take collection?
Upon the first day of the
Show
week.
Show me a church in Houston or in the world that don't take money every Sunday. And they use the same passage to get it. But they won't use the passage of Acts 20 verse 7 when the disciples broke bread on the first day of the week. The problem is, believers must be believers. And that's what happened with Jesus. Some of these folk are not believe. They want him for the wrong reason. And that's why you okay with once a month. And now that we've changed the worship service by 9:15, if you ain't here by 9:15, you don't get your communion. So if all you come in for is communion once a month, you have no life in you. That's what I'm trying to get out. The importance of communing is that you maintain a relationship. And that's why we drink the blood. And we eat the bread. That's a fellowship. It's a command. This is a direct command. You can't do this once a month and go to heaven. I'm talking to Highland Heights members. You got to step it up. And you can do it. You can be faithful. You can do this. Can't you do it? We do what we want to do, don't we?
Man.
Yes, we do. We make a priority of what we want to make a priority of. We can do it. We can be faithful. Amen, somebody. Amen. I'm preaching up here with my leg killing me right now because I need back surgery. But I can do it. Yeah. I have to sit down. I'm still doing it. And I sat down a few times up there today. And I'm going to sit down now because they're hurting worse. But I'm determined to come. I hope I hope if I get handicapped, I'll be like this. I'll roll in here. I'll get me a rolling car. Ride on in here. Hey, man, we can do what we want to do. You know, you see people riding all up and down the street in their wheelchair going to get them some beer. Hey, man, if a man can ride to get some beer, surely he can come and get some Lord's Supper every week. Amen. Walls and lights. Amen. Yeah, I'm thinking. See, I'm thinking. Like, can I borrow yours today? Roll on up here. That's where I want to be. I want to be so faithful to the Lord that if no matter what comes, no matter what happens, what I can do, I can roll in here. I'll put you here, and somebody got to help me in the car. Help me out the car. Give me. I told my wife yesterday. I said, put that handicap stick in my truck. I drive, you know, I put that handicap stick. I know I ain't just roll her, but it's me and her both handicapped. I said, me, I need it, you need it. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Thank God for handicap stickers. You know, nothing makes me madder than to drive around a place and all the handicap spots took up. I said, it's too many handicap people shopping. And when I was there yesterday, I'm sure y'all pray for me. Pray for our God. I'm supposed to get surgery on the 10th. I don't want to preach. I don't want nothing to stop me from preaching. I want that. Please pray for me. I don't want nothing. I'll bring my big old office chair and sit in here and preach for me. I'm going to do something about stuff. Okay, yeah. But in close, but the whole point is this. The bread of God is Jesus Christ. And what God wants you to do is love him. How many of y'all love the Lord? Now, why you love him? Do you love him because of what he done? Or what he can do for you? What he done for you is over 2,000 years ago, the bread of God came down from heaven. They took the bread of God and beat him and whipped him. Amen. They took the bread of God and executed him on a cross with pain in the nails in the hands and feet. That bread hung on the cross 6 hours. That bread stayed on the cross for you and I. And it was God's bread. And no man can come to God without eating of that bread. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, know that he suffered for you. He hung for you. He bled for you. And God sent you the bread of eternal life. Amen. It's the bread of God. They took the bread off the cross, buried him in a tomb. And the bread of God got up with power. And he said, go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I want you to know today, if you're here today, you're not a Christian. You haven't been drinking of the blood and eating of the bread. You're not going to be saved. Why wouldn't you close out 2017 by being saved? Come by hearing that gospel. Brother Brooks, I hear what God done for me. I believe it with all of my heart. Then will you repent? Say, you know what? I don't want to leave. This is my last Sunday of the year. But I want to start it out. Commit myself for you next year. I want to commit my life to God for 2018. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you got to confess you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Once you confess you believe he's the Son of God, then we'll baptize you as commanded by the bread of God. He told us to baptize you for the remission of your sins, and the Lord would add you to the only church in the Bible that is the Church of Christ. And the Bible said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. So if you die in the Lord, you die in the body of Christ. To die in the body of Christ is to die in the Church of Christ. I wouldn't die outside of the Church of Christ. You need to come this morning. The bread of God has came down from heaven. He spoke. I want to know. I want those who need prayer to come. You may have had a bad year and you're looking for some good things to come in 2018. You may have gone through some things, health issues. You may want to come and say, I want to rededicate. I want to recommit my life to God. I really want to be a servant. I really want to be a Christian. But let me remind all of us that are still living that God's mercy has been extended to us in 2017. He let us see this last Sunday. And because he let us see, if you're a member of the Church of Christ, you ought to give God thanks. You ought to rededicate to him. You ought to recommit your life to the Lord today. If you're here today and you're subject to this invitation, those who need to get baptized, we want you to come. Those who need to recommit themselves to the Lord, we want you to come. Whosoever will, let them come as together we stand and sing.